Welcome to the live weekly message from the auditorium at Encounter. You may not be here in person, but you are still part of the family. Our speaker today is author and lead pastor Michael Rice.
I don't know, I think I've preached 30 plus Christmas messages. And more than half, I think I'd almost be safe to say, two-thirds of them were from the verse that says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And I shared with them of how that, I don't even know what to do with that verse. When God knew what we would do with the son that he gave us, and yet he gave us that son. He knew that he would be marred to the point he wouldn't look like a human. He knew that he would be rejected. He knew that we would choose Barabbas over Jesus. And yet he gave us Jesus. Any of you parents out there have a hard time getting your head around that? And every year as Christmas came around, it seemed like my heart wouldn't go any other direction. I think when I get to heaven, with that verse in mind, I'm going to say to God, why? How could you do that? We don't deserve it. And so I told the leadership, I said, I'm really trying not to go to that verse because I'm just enamored with that verse, and probably down through the years people have gotten bored of hearing me preach on those verses. And it's always been in the hope that I could get to the bottom of it. And so I kind of endeavored in my heart to stay away from that verse this year. And as I prayed, I just kept hearing God bring up Wonderful Counselor. And you know, God is, he's able to make you smarter than you are. Come on. And you know, he's also able to make you look really dumb. I mean, if you don't know that, you'll find out. Okay? So I felt good as throughout the preparation time, I just kept the Wonderful Counselor and all of that and what it meant to us. And finally, I settled in my heart, that's the direction. That's where we're going. And I dug up the scripture that has that phrase in it so I could start the message with that scripture that contained the words, Wonderful Counselor. It's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I think I struggle so much sharing a Christmas message because, like so much of your word, I just, I can't get my head around it and my heart around it. But none more so than this verse. And so I ask you now, God, to help me to just unburden my heart with what you've burdened it with. Holy Spirit, I need you. Only you, only you, only you can say something to those that will hear and it impact their lives. Amen. So he made me look dumb because I didn't realize that's all in one verse. Until last night. And yet, if you'd asked me the day before yesterday, I would have told you it's all in one verse because I've had the verse all but memorized in my head. But for some reason, he disconnected it so that... Does that make sense to anybody? Sure. Wonderful. Wonderful. Full of wonder. I look back on my life when I came to the Lord, and I realize what was attractive to me about God. I was living a life that I'd set a direction, a destiny for my life. I had established in my heart I wanted to be a millionaire by the time I was 25 years old. I'd been doing businesses since I was 6 years old, grabbing rocks out of a neighbor's driveway and coloring them with a crayon, and then go up to the door and sell them their own piece of gravel with my coloring on it. And I knew all along they were buying it because I was cute. So now I'm early 20s and I own houses and businesses and I employ people. And I think that I'm on my way, maybe not quite going to hit 25, but eventually was going to get there. I wasn't going to be a millionaire by the time I was 25, but that was still my direction. And my life had lost all real purpose. Because I found out being rich isn't a purpose. It's a curse. I found out working hard is honorable, but that's not an end in itself. That there is more to life than getting up at 4:30 in the morning and busting yourself all day long and flopping into bed dead tired and getting up in the morning and working hard and putting all your effort, all your intellect, all your energy, all your everything you have into a job to go to bed maybe a little richer but a little bit more tired, and to get up and just keep doing that day after day. Man, you talk about life becoming a drudgery. And my life had really lost wonder. Anybody relate to that? There was nothing fascinating about life. Push a button, pull a lever, nail a shingle, sell this person, sell that person, hire this person, buy this truck, fix this, buy that, invest. It was just pushing buttons and pulling levers, and life just went on, and there was no wonder about it. Until I started being drawn by God and was blessed with a young lady who's now my wife that asked her 1,000 questions about God. And it seemed like with every question I could get answered, it brought up 2 more. And there came a point in time that I understood this, though I might not have phrased it this way at the time, that I found God to be a wonder. He was beyond pushing buttons and pulling levers. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. He's not a thing. He's not a system. He's a person who loves me. And I really had this idea that if I get saved, man, me and God are going to do stuff. Because I know how to push buttons and pull levers. And I know how all this works. And that's what God needs, as a guy who knows how to push buttons and pull levers. And we're going to change the world. And so in this desire to finally have a relationship with him, I went to the altar and he washed my sins away. He changed me. I could not have explained it theologically, but I know that I know that I know that I know something changed inside of me. Amen. I know that. And I really did, in that moment, think me and God are going to do some stuff now because I can push buttons and pull levers. And you know what he did? He quickly began to take all my buttons and levers away. All of a sudden, my businesses don't work. I'll never forget at one point in time, my brother Craig, several months after I got saved, and everything's falling apart. And I don't know how to keep it from falling apart. And he said, "What happened to you, man? You used to be the golden boy of business. And now it's all falling apart." And you know what my attitude was? I was in my Bible and I go, "Yeah, it is. But I want to find out about this guy in here." And I didn't want it to fall apart, but I seemed helpless to press a button and to pull a lever and have them work anymore. I was drawn in by the wonder of the person that was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he's full of wonder. And every other part of my life was falling apart. But I was caught up in the wonder of this right here. And I remember buying a Bible. And just pretty soon I was homeless, literally. And there were times when I couldn't wait for it to get dark so I could open the piece of plywood and crawl in the window of the abandoned house and get in there with my little flashlight and read my Bible for a couple of hours until the batteries would go dead and take in the wonder of God. And I think to start with this morning, that whether you're here in person or you're listening online, I want to tell you something. If your life has lost wonder, if it's become a drudgery, if it's become a just get up and go to work, pay the bills, if it becomes all about responsibility, and I'm thankful that you're responsible, but your life was meant to have wonder in it. And I think that's part of what Jesus says when he said that unless you become like a little child, you'll never see the kingdom of God. I know some people slice that to think you won't go to heaven. That's not what he says. But he's literally saying it takes a childlike heart to see the wonder of the kingdom of God right now. It's one of the things I love about little Eden is she's helped us older people, Gail, Beth, and I, to, through the eyes of a child, see the wonder of life again. And I love taking her out in the backyard and when she was even smaller and showing her a leaf. And she would look at that. And that was just one of 100 trillion leaves I've seen in my life that I never cared about. But she looks at it and all of a sudden you see it through her eyes. And a bug. And the just the wonder and the awe of life. And God wants you and I as believers to have that wonder of life. Come on. And to have that wonder in our marriages. And that life and that marriage and that your everything you do and everything you have is filled with the wonder. and you're not sucked into the drudgery of life. And if you don't yet have a relationship with God, I want to tell you one of the things he does is he restores wonder to life. Where you actually like to get up. I was thinking the other day about life, and I think I asked Greg about, you know, what age was one of your favorites? I think my favorite age of life has both is now and was. It's when I could get up and my agenda was to play. You remember those days? There was nothing else to do but play. I'm getting up this morning. I'm fueling up to play. And then when I get hungry, I fuel up so I can play some more. Anybody else remember those days? And now as a believer, I've been born again. And God's given me a childlike heart. And you know what I get to do? I get to play. Come on. I get to play with my father. I get to play with the best older brother anybody's ever had, Jesus. And I get to play. And I can pray for people, and sometimes I see dramatic things happen. But I can play. You know, when you're playing Monopoly, it's just play money. You can throw $1,000 in Bike Park Place and you really don't care. And now he tells you to give some money away, you get to play. It's just money. It's just money. My dad's got a lot. He's got a lot of money. And I can just play. This afternoon, some people will gather after service and they'll prepare for the outreach tonight. And you know what they get to do? They get to go play. Jesus sent the disciples out, and when they came back, let me paraphrase a little bit. They go, "Dude, that was fun. Even the demons are subject to us." And Jesus goes, "I even saw Satan fall like lightning." Play. Can I tell you, I'm one of the hindrances I had to getting saved was there was too many Christians that looked like they'd been baptized in lemon juice. Serious. Y'all need to lighten up. Amen. The Bible says that laughter is like good medicine. What does good medicine do? It heals you. It makes you better. It was God who said, laughing can make you better. And I want to tell you that bitterness can make you sick. Disease is a compound word. Ease means to be relaxed and unencumbered. Dis is the opposite of relaxed and unencumbered. That's why it's dis-ease, disease. You get sick because you've lost the wonder of being a child. You fret about this. And Jesus said, what one of you can worry and add one little bit to your stature? You worry and fret and you ask God the Father to provide all of this as if he wasn't going to provide it anyhow. Amen. He's your Father. He will take care of you. Don't worry about it. Chill a little bit. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and tell them, chill a little bit. Wonder. the wild-eyed wonder on the face of a child when they see something. Couldn't wait this the first time to take go with Eden and JJ and Gail Beth and Aaron to see fireworks. And to see that first firework go up and the awe on her face, like, and the wonder of it. And religion had killed the wonder of God. And in Acts chapter 2, when God was doing a restart, a reboot, if you will, the Bible says that those that observed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it says they were in awe and they wondered. I want to ask you this morning, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider asking God to help you to regain your wonder. There's an attractiveness about a believer that doesn't look like they've been baptized in lemon juice, and joy comes out of their mouth, who goes through their life and there's still a wonder about God. There's still that childlike faith, that childlike innocence, that wonder, that just the Holy Spirit is just wonderful. And Jesus is wonderful. And God the Father fills me with wonder. And I get to see him move and act. There's been an individual that for some time now I've been doing my best to pour into them through a distance, through phone calls and texts. And it's been difficult is the best way to put it. And you sometimes wonder if you're doing any good, because I was doing it but paying a price for it, if you will. And just this week, as I'm sitting at my desk working, God puts a Christian song on my heart to send to them. And I started crying, because I've been here before. I know what's happening. I know what's happening. He's moving in for the kill. He's about to get him. He's getting ready. We're in the near the end zone. We're there. You can see it. And now he's, all right, I'll take this from here, son. You've been doing what I've told you to do, but now I'm personally involved. Send this to them. I would never have sent that to them, because I know what I would hear back. And so I'm crying. I can't even hardly see to pull up the song on YouTube and to grab the address of it, the URL of it, and put it in the text. I'm crying so hard because I know. And I'm already anticipating the look of wonder on their face when they accept Jesus and he begins to fix all the brokenness in their life. And the wonder. Some of you have lost your wonder and you quit slapping hands on people and praying for them. When you get your wonder back, you'll pray for anybody. You won't be focused at the person that did get healed. You'll be looking forward to the next one who does. You won't be so focused on for the one who didn't get delivered, because you're quickly getting to the next one who does get delivered. My job is to lay hands on the sick. It's his job to do the recovery. Amen? And if I believe that he'll do that, then with wonder, will it be this guy? Will it be this one? That one? Wonder. And that's what Jesus was in that manger that night, was wonder. It was wonder. You've got to understand that this came by closing out the book of Malachi. There were hundreds of years where earth heard nothing from God. Nothing. I think that's the reason why God gave us Isaiah 9. Is so that we know that he's going to fix this. He's going to fix all of this. Amen? But there was a time when hundreds of years go by and we hear nothing from heaven. And let me tell you something, that when it showed up, the reason many didn't see it is it didn't look like what they were thinking it would look like. I'm telling you, as your pastor, don't miss what God is starting to do right now. I'm telling you, something is a move. Something's going on. And when you think about the birth of Jesus, not everybody liked the process. It didn't look like what they thought it would look like. Sometimes what God does makes us uncomfortable. Oh, you all looking at me like, let's go interview Joseph. Joseph, I just heard the woman you're engaged to be married is pregnant. How are you feeling right now? He says, I'm an honorable man. I didn't do that. I'm so honorable, I have no choice but to put her away. But I'm not going to hurt her. I'm not going to make a show of it openly. I'm just going to quietly divorce her. I wish her no harm. Go read your Bible. That's what he said. He sought to put her away privily, quietly. You can imagine that night when he went to bed. His life had been blown apart. The woman he loved had been unfaithful to him. And he's a good and honorable man. His whole life had been blown up. Until an angel comes and says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. This is God. I'm paraphrasing. Listen, be ready. It's been in the heart of Gail Beth and I for more than 3 decades of ministry that God would restore the awe and the wonder to the church. We've been laughed at and ridiculed. We've messed up bad. We've looked stupid. We've looked fake. Come on. How many could say amen to that? We're in the Laodicean church age where we're lukewarm because some of us are hot and some of us are cold. And so the net result is we're lukewarm. But God said, I would that you were hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I would spew you out of my mouth. Do you understand when he says, I wish that you were hot or cold? Means he's going to bring about circumstances to cause people to be hot or cold. And the Spirit of God is moving on the face of the church right now, like he moved on the planet that was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. He's moving upon the face of the church now that is without form and void, and darkness on her face. And he's causing there to be a separation. And he's taking the cold away from the hot. So we're not a lukewarm church anymore. We're a hot church anymore. He was 100% for us. He's looking for a bride who will be 100% for him. He's looking for a bride who is making herself ready. Who is making herself ready. Not just buying time until he comes, but she's making herself ready. It's been more than 40 years, but I will never forget the moment as I stood up in the front of LaGrange Church of God on a Tuesday night. That's when most people do weddings, isn't it? And I saw my bride walk through the door. She had made herself ready, and she was beautiful. He's restoring the wonder and the awe to the body of Christ. Because when you hang around somebody who's full of wonder, you become full of wonder. He's a counselor. Listen to me for a moment. Whoever you are, here in person or online, whoever you are, start talking to him. Amen. Just start talking to him. Why in the name of all that is holy would you not talk to him? If things are great between you and God, you already know to talk to him. If things are terrible between you and God, talk to him. Amen. Just talk to him. Just keep talking to him. I've been there. Listen, I've been there. I've been there when I had way more questions than I had answers. I've been there when it didn't seem like this thing worked. I've been there when I've messed it up. I've been there. Fill in the blank. I've been there. But I want to tell you, the reason I'm still here is even in the midst of bad times, I just kept talking to him. I learned that at the knee of an evangelist who used to travel this country and fill houses of God with people as he shared the gospel. Large tent gatherings. And now when I come into his life, he's been away from God for more than 10 years. He's backslid. He's an alcoholic. He's suffering with health issues. He's as far away from God as you think you can be. He starts every morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, down at the local VFW getting drunk. I've told you the story. I'm not going to bore you with the details except one day. It was on my heart to go visit him. He hated me to come visit him. He started locking his door because I checked the door to see if it was unlocked. Because drunk people don't always remember to lock it. So, and I sat down in his living room and I'm trying to talk to him about God. And I'm just being me. I'm joking around. I'm using what little bit of charm I have. And he won't listen to me. I'm talking to the side of his head. And the more I talk, he reaches over his remote and he turns the TV up a little bit louder, a little bit louder. I think, you know what? I don't care if he gets mad at me now. What do I care? He can't be any more disrespectful and rude than he is. So I walked over, unplugged his TV. I walked over his chair, sat down in his footstool, and I said, listen, I almost said his name. Listen, I'm going to go. I know that's what you want. I'm going to go. But I have a question for you. I've only been a pastor here now 2 years, and I want to ask you a question. How do I make sure I don't end up like you? He sat forward so fast and snapped his lazy board, I thought he was going to hit me. And he went like this, and he said, don't quit talking to him. Because every day goes by that you don't talk to him, you take one more step turning out like me. It did my heart good. One day in prayer, God told me he hadn't preached his last message. I already told you about the time God sent me into a bar to sit down next to him. I sat down next to him in the bar. He looks over at me. He says, "Old preacher, you got no business being in here." I said, "Child of God, neither do you." We can talk in here, or we can go out in your truck in the parking lot. But we're going to talk. Then have God tell me one day he's not preached his last message. And to see him get saved. Several months goes by, and I'm able to invite him to come preach for us. Don't quit talking to him. It's never so bad that he can't fix it. He's wonderful, and he's a counselor. He understands. I've talked to people who don't understand. He understands. He understands. I think the reason why Jesus was who he was is because God sent us exactly what we needed. We needed wonder restored to our lives. We needed a counselor. We needed a mighty God. We needed a God that was not impotent. We needed a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a Prince of Peace. We needed all of that, but more than that, we needed a kinsman redeemer. We needed somebody like us to redeem us. And so divinity had to put on humanity. He had to put on what we are and to become like us and to be tempted in every way like as we are and yet without sin, so that all of our sins could be placed upon him. He was literally born to die. It was a gift from God, a sacrifice from God to himself. And all of our sins are placed on him. And what it requires to become a believer is that you place your trust in that. Amen. You don't place your trust in how good you can be, because I want to tell you, regardless of how persistent and determined you are, whether it be a day or a week or a month, you're going to need his forgiveness. Nobody is going to throw open the gates of heaven and march in like they own the place. We will walk in it through heaven knowing that we don't deserve to be here. And that's why we take our crowns and throw them at his feet. And we worship him, because it's because of Jesus that we make it into heaven. So he is wonderful. You don't know him today, you need to know he's wonderful. You need to know that. You need to know that he can restore the wonder to your life. He's a counselor who understands. I was going through the darkest time of my life up to that point. Through a series of events, I ran into a Christian who was a believer. They didn't know me, and I didn't know them. I'd probably never see them again. They'd probably never see me again. So it felt safe to share with them. I didn't have to pull any punches. I'm not their pastor. So I sat with this individual, and I just shared. Where we were at, it was outside on a bench. It was kind of dark. I couldn't see his face that much, other than barely knowing each other's names. That's the total connection we had. And I get done pouring out and sharing my heart, all the ugly. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All the struggles, what I've done to mess things up, what I've done to make things worse. And do you know, I don't remember one word of advice that he gave me. To this day, I can't tell you what remedy, what comfort he offered me. But when I got done, gathered my breath, and settled down for a moment, I looked over at his face, and it was washed with tears. My first thought is, dude, what are you doing crying? You don't even know me. And I knew in that moment, I wasn't just seeing his heart. I was seeing the heart of my Father for me. And though I can't tell you, as God is my witness, a single word he told me, I got up from that experience, still struggling, but no longer alone. And you're hearing me online, and you're here this morning, and I want to tell you, that voice that has told you you're alone is lying to you. He's lying to you. He's lying to you. This Heavenly Father, this everlasting Father, everlasting means it doesn't end. He doesn't shun us when we've messed up. When I've needed a dad most is when I've messed up. He doesn't push us away. At 18 years old, I thought I was all that, and I went and bought myself a used pickup truck. I didn't need to take dad. I know everything. I paid too much for the truck. Got in it, drove it home. It hit 40 miles an hour, and it began to shake so bad I couldn't hold on to the steering wheel. I drop below 40 miles an hour, and it stops. What in the world? I paid $39.95 back then, which would be like $18,000 today. I slowly drove the truck back to the dealership. I'd only got 2 miles down the road. 3 miles, walked in, found that car salesman that was so nice to me, and said, hey, that thing doesn't have any warranty on it. I said, I just gave you $4,000. I can't even drive home. If you want, I'll have the shop look at it. That's why I need them to do something. 30 minutes later, he came back and told me, it's going to cost about $1,700 to get the front end of your truck fixed. I said, you guys are paying for that, right? No, there's no warranty on this vehicle. I don't have $1,700. You took all my money. I walked that thing home 25, 30 miles an hour. I was embarrassed. My dad saw the new truck. He said, oh, you got a new truck? He could tell there wasn't any joy on my face about it. I told him the story. He said, you got that salesman's card? I said, yeah, I bet, Dad, but they won't do nothing. He said, give me the card. Shut the door on the way out. Okay. 5 minutes later, I hear him yelling, Mike, get in here. I walk back in his office. He wants to talk to you. What does he want to talk? I get on the phone. Yes? He goes, yes. For your free rental, do you want a pickup truck or with another car due? And I said, well, I need the truck for work. He said, okay, we'll give you a pickup truck. And I said, okay. He says, is the truck at your house now? And I go, yeah. He said, I'll send a guy over to pick it up, and he'll drop off your pickup truck that you're going to use. And I got off the phone. You see, I don't know. To this day, I don't know what Dad said to them. And I got to tell you this ugly part of my life at that moment.
Somewhere along the line, Dad had gotten mad at us as a family. I don't know what happened. And we hadn't talked for years. Lived in the same house. And it was like living with a ghost. Unless he yelled at us to move our vehicle, or yelled at us to shovel this, or yelled at us to get something done, we didn't talk. But that didn't change the reality that he was going to help me. You haven't talked to him for a while. If my dad, being sinful, how much more your heavenly Father, even though you haven't talked to him for a while, he's still able to fix things. And he's willing. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Like with everything with God, things can be ironic. The irony of Christmas that we say is Jesus' birthday is he is the gift. Amen. He's the gift unto us. Unto us, unto you, Judy, Frank, to you, Connor, to you, unto us, a child is born, unto us, a son is given. Probably, most of you on Christmas Day, there'll come a point in time when every gift is unwrapped. There's a gift that was placed in a manger 2,000 years ago. And it's tragic to think that just like the innkeeper, there are people that still don't have place in their life to open this gift. And I want to tell you that this gift will be the greatest gift you have ever received. Amen. He will restore wonder and awe to your life. It won't all be easy, but you will never be alone. And even when bad stuff happens, if you let him, he can take that very thing that was meant for your evil and use it for your good and his glory. Amen. That's an absolute. Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for this gathering. We thank you for allowing us to be here today. We thank you for that gift given so many years ago, been given to us, that makes our lives full of wonder. We thank you for that, God. As I was finishing up praying, I just heard the Lord say, exchange gifts. I think what that's to mean is that's what you do. You freely you have received, freely give.
Thank you for joining Michael Rice, lead pastor at Encounter. More messages from Pastor Rice are available on our website, www.wreckedbygod.com. On our website, you can subscribe to our regular podcast or on iTunes. Find us on Facebook under Encounter.